All righty. God bless you. And Johnny, I just thought you were just going to keep going, bro. And just, you were going to do the sermon, bro. You did a great job, bro. I'm just going to sit there and just take it all in for the evening. God bless you. And if you're here for the very first time, you must come back to hear Pastor Robert teach the Word of God. He's an incredible communicator of God's Word, and you must come back and hear him. Also, I got my beautiful chocolate wife right here up front. I call her Miss Chocolate Universe, and she's here with me. And so I need somebody to give me some time, because I think I have about, I'm supposed to have so many minutes, and I got to run over to that other campus. So if I can get some time, let me know when I need to stop, because I get going, and next thing you know, the other campus is waiting on me, and you know, we don't want that to happen. So I'm sure that you're going to give me something. Now, let's not delay. I was over there chomping at the bit. Now, let's not delay. Turn with me in your Bibles to Psalms, the book of Psalms, chapter 1. Psalms chapter 1. Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit would move in our lives. We pray, God, that you would take this word and, Lord, you would apply it to our hearts. Thank you so much that you've given us this book to lead us, to guide us, Lord, to direct us, and to being more like Jesus. So we pray that your Holy Spirit now would teach us. Teach us this evening in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Psalm chapter 1. Now, we all know that the book of Psalms was the hymn book of the nation of Israel. This is the book that they used to sing psalms, you know, songs to God. You know, the majority of them, at least 75% of the psalms was written by David. Psalm 1 written by Moses and, you know, Asa and some other folks. But it's a great book, incredible book. And Psalm chapter 1 is one of my favorites. And so we're going to do our best to go through this particular book. This psalm, should I say, not the whole book. That we'd be here all night long. So the title of this message for you note takers is How is Your Walk? How is your walk? I want to address this subject from this psalm because it talks about our walk with God. Because, you know, if you've been walking with the Lord for any length of time, our walk will, it will kind of go through a roller coaster and some things. And so God wants to help us with that. And I believe that this psalm is going to help us. Notice what it says there in the very first verse. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Now, I want to draw your attention to the word blessed. The Hebrew word is a plural noun, esher. It speaks of happiness or contentment. And, you know, we have several words in the New Testament, the Greek equivalent to these words. Makarios, is the one word for blessed. That is the word that's used in connection with the Beatitudes. In Matthew chapter 5, blessed are the poor in spirit and all that. Blessed are the peacemakers. Makarios is that word. Then in Ephesians chapter 1, it's talking about blessed are those and, you know, blessed is the Lord Jesus Christ who sits us in heavenly places. That's a different word. That's eulogia. It's where we get our English word eulogy from. It means to speak well of. And I was just thinking about this earlier, and I was like, does our walk speak well of the God we claim that we serve? And I was thinking about that as we walk throughout this world. The Christian life is a walk, and I wonder, does our walk speak well of our God? We claim we worship him, we claim we serve him, but does our walk? You know, the Bible talks about in Ephesians Ephesians 4, verse 1, it talks about have a walk worthy of God. The word worthy there in the Greek, and it's an amazing word, it's a word that speaks of the balancing of the scales, meaning that our walk and our talk need to be balanced. So often Christianity gets a bad name because we're saying one thing and living another. And our walk doesn't speak well of the God we serve. And I want to help us with this because we all need help in this area. And so he says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. I got to draw your attention to the word walk. The Christian life is just that. It's a walk. It speaks of continuous action. Adam walked with God in the cool of the day. God told Abraham, walk before me and be blameless. David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil because thou art with me. We see throughout the Bible, it talks about us walking with God. Walk humbly, Micah 6:8. Walk humbly with our God. Walk in the spirit. You won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. You know, in Galatians 5:16. Isaiah 40, verse 31, you shall walk and not grow weary. So this Christian life is a walk. So we need to examine our lives and examine our walks and see how we're doing. How are we doing? The Bible says, examine yourself to see whether you're in the faith. Prove yourself. Do you not know yourselves unless you are disqualified? So we need to examine our walk, examine our faith. And here it is. It says, the blessed man does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. All of us, we're living according to a counsel. We're living according to someone's counsel. What counsel are you walking in today? There are some people walking in the counsel of psychology and psychiatry. There are some walking in the counsel of the talk show hosts or the latest person on social media. What counsel are you walking in? Notice he says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Oh, please understand that David teaches us that only God can restore our souls. Who are you going to restore your soul? Who are you going to for counsel, for wisdom, for direction? Who are you going to? What counsel are you walking in? Freud? Maslow? What counsel are you walking in? But the blessed man and the blessed woman doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. You walk in the counsel of your relatives or your parents or your children. Or you walking in the counsel. The question is, are they godly? Is it godly counsel they're giving you or ungodly counsel? You have to ask yourself this question because we're all walking and living according to a counsel that we are constantly getting. And the blessed man and the blessed woman doesn't walk according to the counsel of the ungodly. Just take a moment, examine your life and ask yourself, what counsel am I walking in? And it could be the reason why your life is either blessed or not blessed, because it says, blessed is the man or woman who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Oh, he's just getting started. He says, nor stand in the path of sinners. So often, if we're walking in the counsel of the ungodly, we will eventually stand in the path of sinners. What an incredible thing that we, supposed to be the light to point people to the cross of Jesus Christ, and we too busy standing in the way. Keeping them, think about that. Our lifestyles are keeping them from coming to Christ. What a tragic thing. That we can actually live in such a way, call ourselves Christians, and we're standing in the path of sinners. And they're like, get out of the way, I'm trying to get to Christ. Nope, nope. What a tragic thing. So often when we're walking in the counsel of the ungodly, we will stand in the path of sinners. And then he says, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. You know, when I think of sitting in the seat of the scornful, I think of Peter. Right around Matthew 26, around verse 58, It said that Peter, you know, they already took Jesus, you know, took Jesus to trial. And all of a sudden, you know, it said that there were some people warming themselves by the fire. And Peter just kind of came and sat with them. Whenever we find ourselves sitting with the scornful, we're going to end up being burned by the enemy's fire. And Peter ended up being burned by the fire. Hey, aren't you one of those them disciples? No, I don't know the man. What you talking about? I don't know him. Yeah, we know you are. Your speech betrays you. You're a Galilean. No, I don't know that man. That's what ends up happening when we're sitting in the seat of the scornful. We're sitting in the midst of people who are enemies of the cross of Jesus Christ, and we're sitting among them laughing at their jokes, laughing at their stories, laughing at their weekend excursions and all that kind of stuff. We find ourselves denying the Lord. So this is why he's letting us know, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful, but the conjunction of contrast. Meaning that he's about to contrast what he just finished saying. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. Oh, I love that. It reminds me of Job 23:12. Job said, I treasure God's word more than my necessary food. I wonder, do we treasure the word of God more than our necessary food? Meaning that we would rather spend time in God's word than we would eating our necessary food. I'm not talking about the great jelly donuts and cheesecake and all kind of good old desserts. No, necessary food, the fruits and vegetables and stuff that's used to sustain our bodies. Job said, I would rather spend time with God. I treasure his word more than my necessary food. I just wonder if we treasure God's word that much. How much time do you spend reading the word of God? How much time do you spend going over this book, trying to memorize this book? Oh, my memory is not that good. I can't remember. And we remember some of the dumbest things, some of the stupid jingles and commercials and, you know, Nike, just do it. And we remember that kind of dumb stuff. But then we claim we can't take the time to memorize God's word. It takes time to do that. That means we have to put down our phone. Oh, yeah, I don't want to hear that. That's okay. All right. And then someone would say, well, my Bible's on my phone, and I still got to have it, you know. How much time do you spend in God's word? C.H. Spurgeon, that great prince of preachers, he used to say there's enough dust on many Christians' Bible for them to write damnation out with their finger. And I just wonder, how much time do you spend in this book, and how much do you treasure it? Do you treasure it like Job did? And notice he says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. Oh, I have to draw your attention to the word meditate. The word meditate, the Hebrew word, is a word that speaks of how a cow chews to cud. A cow chews cud and chewing and then he swallows it, and then throughout the day he barfs it back up and chews on it some more to make sure he gets all of the nutrients out of it. That's how we're supposed to do. We're supposed to spend time in God's word. So in the morning time, so definitely throughout the day, we can barf it back up. And chewing it some more to get some more nutrients out of it. This is why it's so important to get into the word before you leave for the day. Well, Pastor Tony, you don't understand. I'm not a morning person. Well, you need to start to be one. You know the secret? I have the secret. I need to bottle this. The secret of getting up early in the morning. Who wants to know the secret? I have the secret. I should have charged admission at the door. I have the secret of getting up early in the morning. You know what it is? Going to bed early. That's the only way you're going to get up early. You got to go to bed early. Hey, guess what? Jesus did it. Mark 1:35, it says, now early in the morning, having arisen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. Now, a long while before daylight, I don't know what that is. Is that 2:30? 2:45? I don't know what that is. But he got up. It's something about the morning time. The Israelites were told to collect the manna in the morning. David said in Psalm 119, 140, verse 147 and 148, he says, in the night watches I meditate on your word, and early I meditate on your word, day and night. Isaiah 26, verse 9, talks about meditating on the word of God day and night. Psalm 1. Meditate on the word of God day and night. Joshua 1, verse 8. This book of the law you shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night. Because some people say, well, you know, I read my Bible before I go to bed. Well, okay, that's great. That's great. That's good. That's just part of it. It says day and night. It's nothing like having a lasting on your mind is the word of God before you go to sleep and the first thing on your mind when you wake up. There's something about that. It says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. In his law does he meditate day and night. Now he's going to give how that will profit you. Notice, he says, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. A tree planted by the rivers of water has a chance of its roots going down deep. No matter what storm, no matter what hurricane, no matter what, it may sway a little bit, but it's not going to be moved because those roots have gone down and grabbed upon the rock. When you are able to meditate day and night on the word of God, your roots will go down deep. And it will grab on a rock. It doesn't mean you're going to be exempt from storms and tribulations and trials. You're going to experience those. But you may sway a little bit, but you're not going to be uprooted because the roots have gone down deep because you are a person of the Word of God. Oh, he continues. He says, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season. I love that. Notice how it says that bring forth its fruit in his season. Our lives go through seasons. The question is, do you know what season you're in? Maybe you're in winter. Things seem to be a little cold between you and God. You need to examine yourself to see whether there's sin in your life. Because Isaiah 59 verse 1 and 2, it says, God's arm is not too short that he cannot save, nor his ear heavy that he cannot hear. He said, but your iniquity have separated you from your God so that he will not hear. So it could be sin that's causing a spiritual winter to occur in your life. Or God could be just testing you and say, can you still walk with me even when you don't sense that I'm close to you? Because the Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight. Do you always got to see God working in your life? Can you still walk with him when it seems like it's 20 below spiritually in your life? Our lives go through seasons. Maybe you're here and you're in the summertime. Things are real hot between you and God. You know, y'all about to experience anytime it's this time of year and there's 86 degrees out there. I just can't imagine June, July, August here. I just cannot imagine. I heard it's 114. Oh, those are ungodly temperatures right there. And so y'all about to experience that. So y'all understand summertime. And maybe spiritually it's summertime for you and things are real hot between you and the Lord. You're like, yeah, boy, I tell you, I'm in that word. I'm praying. I'm sharing my faith. Things are hot. And that's great. Keep it hot. Maybe it's springtime in your life spiritually where things are just starting to bloom. There's new areas you're growing in your walk with the Lord. Or maybe it's fall. Leaves are changing. Y'all don't know too much about that here. Not much. Leaves changing. Well, where we are, leaves, you know, it changed color. You guys have seen them on a picture or maybe on a TV show. Leaves are changing. Leaves are changing. The leaves fall off the tree. And maybe relationships you were once in are now starting to fall away. And you're wondering, what's going on in my life? What's going on? The people who were once close to me are now, you know, what's up with that? Do you know our lives go through seasons? And the question is, do you know what season you're in right now spiritually with the Lord? Because when you delight yourself in the Lord of the Lord and meditate on him the day and night, you shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season. Let me just stop right there. The Bible says, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due season. There are some of you praying about some kind of promotion, some kind of something, new job kind of thing. You're praying about that and you're wondering what's going on. Or someone got a promotion or got a job that you thought you should have. You've been at the job longer and they got it and you upset about it. You and your feelings on your job and stuff like that. And you know, here's the thing. It's not your season. It says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due season. It's just not your season. And don't get in your feelings about that. It's just not your season. And the Bible says promotion or exaltation neither comes from the east or from the west. It comes from the north. God exalts one and puts another down. So God exalts that one and he's put you down because it's not your season yet. Because if God were to give you that job, that promotion, that thing that you're wanting, if God were to give it to you now, you will sabotage it because spiritually you're not ready for it. So he will give you, notice, you will bear fruit in the season. It says, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. So the person who meditates day and night on the word of God, they will prosper. I didn't finish Joshua 1:8-9, but it goes like this. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest do it according to all that is written therein. For then he will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Everybody want to talk about prosperity and success. It comes from meditating day and night on the word of God. The Bible's clear on that. It's not about naming it and claiming it and blabbing it and grabbing it. It ain't about that. It's not about that at all. It's about meditating day and night on the word of God. Spending time in this book. That's what it's all about. All right. I'm on the countdown now. I think I'm going to do it. I'm going to finish. I was at the pastor's conference, had chapter 2 of 2 Timothy, couldn't finish it. But then he began to shift gears and began to talk about the ungodly. The ungodly in verse 4 are not so. Are not so what? They're not like the righteous, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. You know, it's funny. We always envy in unbelievers and the lifestyles of the rich and famous. The Bible says that they're like chaff which the wind drives away. You understand because you're well taught by your pastor. You know, that big, giant fork, they would take the wheat and barley and they would toss it up in the air. And the chaff will blow with the wind, and nothing but the wheat or the barley will fall back down. They will keep doing it, and the chaff will blow away. That's how God sees the unrighteous. They're like chaff. And we're looking at them, ooh, look at what he's driving. Look where he lives. Oh, look at what they got. Oh. And God said, they're just chaff that the wind drives away. He continues. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. You understand that there's going to be two different judgments. Most people say, well, you ain't going to stand before God in the judgment. Well, there's two different types of judgment. There's the judgment seat of Christ, by which we will stand before God, and we will give an account of our deeds and what we've done. Now, our sin was dealt with at Calvary's cross. This has to do, the judgment seat of Christ has to do with our rewards, what we did with what God has given us here on this earth. It will either be wood, hay, and stubble, or straw, or gold, silver, and precious stones. Remember, only what you do for Christ will last. So what you're doing right now is either wood, hay, and straw, or it's gold, silver, and precious stones. It will be tried in the fire. If you notice, wood, hay, and straw, those are materials that burn with fire. And gold, silver, and precious stones, those are things that endure fire. Just look at what you call yourself doing for the Lord. You're going to give an account of it. I'm going to give an account of it. Not only what I did, but why I did it. The motive. That's what the Lord looks at. Then you have the judgment seat, the great white throne judgment. It's the judgment of all unbelievers. And they're going to stand before God, and they're going to know exactly why they will spend eternity in hell itself. That's a sad thing. This, I believe if we really understood hell, we would try to go out and win every lost person we can to Christ. If we really believe that there is a hell and that people actually go there, we would run out this door and grab any person. We say, are you saved? There is a hell. We would be just, there's a story told. A man in England was going to the execution. He was going to be executed for his crimes, and there was a chaplain next to him reading, you know, as they're walking. And he got to a part talking about hell. And the prisoner stopped and said, chaplain, he said, if I was like you and believed that there's really a hell, he said, I will crawl across England on broken glass a foot deep to reach one person. If I really believe, like you say you do, that there's really a hell, I would do all I can to reach people. It was a very convicting thing. Because if we really truly believe that people go there, we will do all we can to try to reach everyone we can, relatives, family members, friends. So he said, the ungodly are not so, but like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, and the way of the ungodly shall perish. God knows the way of the righteous. Psalm 37:23 says that the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. God knows our way. He orders our steps. And that can be comforting or very disturbing, depending upon how you look at it. The steps of a righteous man or woman is ordered by the Lord. There are certain things that God orders in our lives. And just keep in mind, every single thing that God allows in our lives has been first filtered through his love for us. Everything. Whatever it is, everything has been filtered through his love for us because he loves us. He knows what we need. He knows he has to bring certain circumstances to get certain people out of our lives, to bring certain people in, to get us to stop sinning in a certain area. He knows what he's doing, and it's all been filtered through his love for us. And the Lord loves us, and he will not let us get away with sin. Because sin is costly. It cost him the life of his dear son. And he won't let us get away with it. I just sense that there's some people here that's living together and you're not married. And you're living as a married couple and you're not married. The Lord won't let you get away with that. Because he loves you. He won't let you get away with it. Well, but see, you know, and well, see what had happened. He won't let you get away with it because he loves you. Some of you are doing drugs, recreational, as well as prescription drugs. You're hooked. And the Lord loves you. He wants to set you free. Some of you came here just because your girlfriend wanted you to come. You don't want to be here, but God had you here because he wants you to hear this message. He loves you. He sent his son to die for you. And this is why you're here. He wants you to examine your walk with him. How is your walk? Are you walking in the counsel of the ungodly? Are you standing in the way of sinners? Are you sitting in the seat of the scornful? Or are you the one that's delighting in the law of the Lord? You can't wait to get in this word. You can't wait to hear his word taught. And you just delight in him. The Lord loves you, but he won't let us get away with our mess. That includes me, includes all of us. Oh, I've been put over the Lord's knee and given a good old-fashioned spanking. I've been there. And the Bible says he disciplines those he loves. He loves us. And he would discipline those he loves. And so this is a time to get your heart right with the Lord. I'm going to close in prayer because I got 1 minute. And then I got to run out the door and run to the next campus. But definitely want you to have a time to get your heart and get your life right with the Lord. The Lord loves you. You're here. Oh, I'm here because my girlfriend wanted me. No, you're here because God personally invited you, and he used your girlfriend to get you here. Father, thank you so much for these, your wonderful people. Lord, you sent Jesus to die for them. And God, I pray by the power of your spirit that you will move in their hearts, move in their lives. I pray, Lord, that we would just get our hearts right with you. You've touched on some things, Lord. We're walking in the counsel of the ungodly. We're standing in the path of sinners. We're sitting in the seat of the scornful. Our lives, our walks are not speaking well of you. Lord, forgive us. Have mercy upon us. And Lord, if there's anyone here who has not repented of their sin and accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior, I pray that today will be the day of salvation for them. Lord, I pray your blessings upon them today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. They're on you, bro.